We're going to be finishing up our gospel saturated, our gospel community class, the short class we've been going through today. This will be the last one, at least for a while. Maria, good to see you again. But we might have, in just coming months, I might pick a little, one off or two offs occasionally. But this will be the last one. This is going to be the last part of the gospel saturated communication. Talk about how we communicate with each other and how can that be saturated with the gospel. We first talked about what motivations we should have. Ultimately, the motivation to love God by serving one another. Is our communication motivated with a desire to serve one another because of what Christ has done for us? Our assumptions, the assuming the good and assuming goodwill, that situation of friendship and wisdom and self-control. And then we were last time talking about application. Remember we talked about last time speaking, the application of how should we apply this to how we're speaking to one another. And so let's just review that just for a minute. And what is the first thing we would do or should do or do more often when we're thinking of speaking to one another, especially difficult times, but in general, what was the first thing? Do you remember? Pray, right? We need to be praying about these things. Even thinking about coming into church, Lord, help me use my words in a way that will please you today. Even to as we encourage each other, are we thinking about wanting to honor the Lord? And as we pray, we rest again in the will of the Lord. We rest in that His will is good, and where it's hard, we trust in Him. That helps us to pray. And then we had several questions that we should in general be thinking about as we're trying to speak to somebody, as we're trying to encourage them or bring something difficult. What were some of the questions or big ideas that you remember from last time? Chuck?
I forget the order, but does it need to be said?
Okay, that's a big thing to do, right? Does what I say need to be said? Do I need to be speaking? And that was actually the first one. Good memory. We don't have to have the right order, but Nathan? Right, so do I need to say this, which is the first thing, and then is my attitude right to actually say this effectively, or am I angry, or am I bitter, or am I trying to oppress them, or am I being judgmental? Is my attitude to serve them? Am I speaking to serve them? Do I need to say this? Is my attitude to serve them? What are some other things that we thought about? You remember? Mike? Do I understand the situation? You guys are getting the right order. I mean, this is like really good. Do I understand the whole situation? Have I asked questions to understand their position? Am I making assumptions? Do I understand this? Have I heard both sides with whatever I'm bringing? Do I have the truth? Anything else? Is it profitable? Are you looking at notes?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. It's good. See, if you take notes, it's easier to answer the questions. Huzzah, Beth. Good job. Yes, is it profitable? Is it good to say? Is it a good thing? Do I need to speak for myself, but the way I'm speaking, is it going to be good for them? Is it going to be edifying to them? Have I thought about that? A couple more questions. That's exactly the right order.
Really?
Thank you, Sandy. Is it the best time? Is this the good time to say this? Or is it not a good time to say this? Maybe this is inappropriate. There's too many people. You haven't thought about things. You're too emotional. Whatever. Is this the best time for me to be speaking? And then the catch-all. Does anybody remember the last one? Chuck?
Was it what words should I use?
Yeah. It's just, have I thought about how I'm going to say this? Have I actually spent time and say, how can I communicate this effectively? Have I just thought about this person, knowing them and their personality? Have I thought about words that would connect with them, knowing maybe their background, knowing where they're sensitive? You know, maybe they have some hot buttons, and so you want to make sure you're not pushing those buttons. That's not going to be helpful. So have I thought about what words I should use? Have I thought about the best words that I could use? And remember, I wanted to encourage you that these are goals, just trying to give us tools to think. These shouldn't be excuses for us to say, oh, no, I shouldn't speak at all because I can't think of the best words. Oh, no, we're misapplying this lesson. The lesson is, are we thinking about how to serve one another? So we're putting energy and effort in how we're speaking so we can be positive in how we speak to each other. Well, with the 20 or 25 minutes or so we have 20 minutes or so we have this morning, I want us to think about how do we listen to each other. And so we're going to do a similar thing, just going to work through some ideas, and I want a lot of interaction and your thoughts, but how do we listen? How do we hear each other? So let's start along those lines. First, I start at the same place that I started with speaking. Especially if you're going into a conversation, you know it's going to be difficult. Maybe you know that they want to bring something to you. Maybe you know that maybe you don't have the greatest relationship. You know there are going to be challenges. The first thing to do, right, is pray. Again, let's do it for the same reason you're going to speak. You're set yourself back in the will of God. You're saying, God, I know this is going to be hard, but I'm going to be trusting in you. And I do that. It's a practical step to say, Lord, help me do that. That resets us back in that will, saying, Lord, I want to do this for you. It resets my thinking so that I'm not responding from flesh, but I'm responding from the reality of what God has done. As we pray to God, we remember what he's done for us. And it gets us in a position to actually hear. But now let's jump in. I have a couple questions, but the first question actually gonna take up almost all the time, is my attitude right? So how's my attitude in what I'm hearing? So could you open your Bibles to Ephesians, hold on, wrong one. See, if I don't have it up here, I'm so dependent on technology. Philippians 2 verse 3. Philippians 2 verse 3, we're gonna look at Ephesians in just a minute. Philippians, all right. 2 verse 3. Can I have a reader, please? Sandy, could you read that out for me, please?
Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself.
Okay. So from that verse, now we're looking at it, some stuff maybe wouldn't be applicable for how we listen, but what's a big idea for what an attitude we should have when we're listening to someone? Nathan? Humility. Are we humble? And then at the end there, it actually describes that kind of humility. How does it describe that? It's like how we consider, right, Josh? Yeah, and not only their need, but considering them better than yourself. And that's the idea I want us to think of it, and as we start. How would that impact how we're listening to one another? Rob?
You're not going to think about your response. You're going to think about understanding what they're saying.
Okay, right, and we're going to talk about that a lot because that's a big deal, right? Listening, not just thinking about your response, but so how does that connect to humility? Connect that to humility.
Well, you're going to put their needs, their interests above your own because we all want to show ourselves wise, show ourselves strong.
Right, right. So you're listening to them, right, rather than thinking, do I got to have that perfect answer?
Right.
That's
above, yeah. Desire, set your heart on them.
Good, very good. Beth? That's right. Yeah. That's right. I want to give you three words. These are warning words. If your heart says this when somebody's talking to you, this is a big warning bell that your heart's in the wrong place. And the words is, how dare you? How dare you? If that's your response, somebody's bringing some sin to you, somebody's bringing some idea to you, how dare you? You don't have the right to tell me that. I am so much more spiritual than you are. You need to be talking about yourself. If that's the word, if that rings in our heart, just that idea, how dare you? That's a big warning bell that we're not putting that person above ourselves, right? We're not considering them more significant than us. We're thinking, I'm more significant than you, and you have no right to come and tell me what's going on. I think Beth said that. How much more perfectly can you illustrate that than your own children who are young pointing out some sin in your life? Right? If we're brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe you have a baby Christian who has just come out of the world, but they're coming alongside you and they start to get to know you and they start pointing out something and you start, oh, how dare you? I'm mentoring you. How dare you talk to me about some problem I have, right? Automatically we're showing we're not putting that person, thinking of them more highly than us. We're thinking of ourselves more highly than them. And so that's kind of a warning bell. Mike? Yeah. Right. It's like, am I thinking about them and where they are, or am I actually trying to think about putting myself to see myself as less than them so that I can actually hear them? And now worry about, right, exactly. So what's going on with my eye? Let's leave their eye alone for a minute and see what they're trying to say. And remember, this is the attitude. We're going to talk about other things. But right now, what's my attitude in receiving? Am I humble? Maybe if they're coming to you with an encouragement and you have that sense of, you need to be encouraged more than I do. What are you talking about? And I've had this happen. Somebody asked me, how can I pray for you? And I'm like, phew. And I have to also, a little bit of pride. What, you want to pray for me? Boy, I should be praying for you. But sometimes we have these responses. So if somebody's sharing with us, even to encourage maybe a new brother's bringing a Bible verse, I want to encourage you with this. Are you like blowing it off? Like, I'm spiritual. I don't need that. Or am I putting myself under them to hear them? And I'm putting myself under them so that I can take that encouragement. I can say, yeah, I would love for you to pray for me. I'm glad that you're praying for me. I hear that criticism. Are we seeing ourselves as better than them, it's better than ourselves. But then look at this. Paul kind of puts a point on this in Ephesians 5:21. So if you're in Philippians, flip back just to Ephesians 5:21. You're very close there. And this is the end of a long list of things. In 15, it started, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. He's going on this long list of things we should be doing. And he ends with verse 21 with this big statement. Can I have someone read 5:21 for me? Andrew. All right. And my translation, be subject to. Submitting to, be subject to. And just think of that language when somebody's coming to talk to you. Do we see ourselves as being subject to them? Now, that doesn't say, are you sure? Did you read, be subject to your elders? Is that what that said? No, be subject to the deacons. What was it? Oh, no, to each other. Oh, you see what it's saying? Be subject to each other. We are to be submitting to each other. That's the kind of humility we're talking about. As we're listening, a brother comes to us. Do we have that perspective? I'm submitting myself to you. Or do we subtly have this perspective in our heart? You should be submitting to me. Right? So the first attitude is we're listening. Are we humble? Now again, lots of other things to talk about, but this is the first attitude. How are we receiving the words? Receive them with humility. The second one, I thought was love. Now, turn to Romans 15, verse 7. This does not actually have the word love in it. We can think of 1 Corinthians 13, which we've talked about significantly already. But here, Romans 15, verse 7, if I could have someone read that for me. 15, verse 7. Thank you, Dan.
Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God.
Right. So welcome is the word. Now, what translation is that? That's ESV. Welcome, receive, or accept. It says, let them into your life. Welcome, receive them, accepting. How should we receive them, Dan? As what?
As Christ has welcomed us.
We should be welcoming that love of, I'm receiving you in love. I'm welcoming you into my life in love. I'm hearing you. I'm receiving you in love as Christ has received me. As he has brought me into himself. That's how we should be bringing each other into ourselves, to listen to each other and be close to one another. You can think of all of the love, 1 Corinthians 13, we talked about that already several times in the last few weeks, bearing with one another, being patient, not being provoked. So how would that impact how we listen to each other? How do you listen in love? My mind sort of went to what Rob said earlier, right? Saying we're not jumping to what I can say in response, but I'm loving them. And if I'm loving them, I want to hear them. Josh? Yeah.
We're not going to consider our sins as less offensive to God.
Right.
And then judge that person for their struggle.
Right. So we're coming alongside. We're hearing them. We're not judging them necessarily as they're bringing their whatever to us. So we're seeing ourselves. I'm loving them. I'm receiving them. What are you thinking there, Dan?
Even as Christ has welcomed us, I mean, he welcomes anyone. He's not picky. As long as you have faith in him.
Right. There's a lot of Bible verses about that Jesus picks the best in the world, right? He says only the best people in the world are the ones he wants, right? Only ones who really are going to get it done. Is that the big theme of the New Testament? No, right? He's the wretched, the weakest is displayed in his glory. So we should expect that we're going to have all these weak, you know, people coming out of the world for God to bless and encourage. And then we're blessing and encouraging each other. And we're loving each other, saying, yeah, you are weak and you have these problems, but you're in my life. I'm welcoming you. I want to hear you. I want to hear your encouragement. I'm not pushing you away because I think you're less or you have this sin problem. I'm welcoming you. I'm receiving. I'm hearing your words. Pastor Chuck?
In the context, it's Romans 14 and Christian liberty of conscience.
Sure.
Where you have the stronger and weaker brother. And the stronger brother is, well, the weaker brother looks at the stronger and judges because he's got liberty to do things the weaker doesn't. Is that right? And then the weaker looks at the stronger. And then the stronger looks at the weaker with contempt.
Right.
Don't you understand? Why can't you be mature? Why don't you grow up and in that context of judging and looking with contempt, accept one another.
Right.
We have differing convictions in these areas of liberty.
That's right.
Accept one another.
That's right.
Jesus has accepted both, and they both are able to stand before him.
Yeah, that's very helpful. Did everybody hear that? Because that is the context here is the stronger and weaker brothers. And it's not just one side accept each other. The stronger don't look at this, look down on the weaker brother. And weaker brother, don't be judging your stronger brother. You have to accept one another, listen to one another, hear one another with that differing opinions or differing convictions about what the Bible says in these particular areas. Lindsay?
Yeah. Watering, and, you know, until God opens their eyes, they're not going to get it. And we all were blind and walking around, hidden walls,
right.
Open their eyes. So,
yeah.
Like that, I know that can be tough when you're trying to explain things to people who are not getting it.
Yeah.
Come on, you know.
Right.
And so, not too understood it.
That's right. And sometimes that goes back to this point here is, if we're loving each other, we're really trying to listen. We understand where they don't get it. We're understanding, okay, you're not hearing me or I'm not hearing you or going back and forth. So we're really listening to each other to understand each other to see where are we hitting that roadblock. And sometimes it says, okay, that's going to be helpful. We're going to talk about, you know, how we evaluate some of these things in a few minutes. But are we coming into that conversation with that attitude of humility and then love? So I'm going to move on here a little bit. Ooh, okay, we're going to skip that. Now let's go jump to the Proverbs for our next little bit of the attitude. Humility, love. But then the next word that I thought of was gratitude. Are we listening with gratitude? Look at Proverbs 12. So we're going to jump back to the Old Testament here. If you can find Psalms, you can find Proverbs. So Proverbs right after the Psalms here. Proverbs 12 and verse 1. As we think of this, but we're going to read that in just a minute, having that attitude of love and then gratitude, sometimes these things are not going to be said well. The person's trying to communicate something to you and they're not doing it the best way, and maybe it's not even right? But the idea is, am I loving them, receiving them, and am I grateful? Am I grateful that we're in community and we're listening and we have this brother? So could I have someone read Proverbs 12, verse 1? Andrew?
Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. But he who hates reproof is stupid.
I love that. The Bible is just like, boom. If you believe that's true, right? Are we grateful when someone points out something? They come alongside us and say, brother, I think you're struggling here. Now, maybe that you ultimately say, no, you're wrong, right? But are you grateful that God has put you in a community and this brother or sister loves you so much that they want to correct you and bring discipline to you? They want you to grow here. And so you love knowledge, or are you, as it says here, stupid because you hate this? Or it says, do we love it? So we're, thank you. I'm glad that I have this brother or sister. Another one is Proverbs 27:6. Oh, we talked about this one last time, but still. Proverbs 27:6. Murray, thank you.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful.
All right, so again, if we believe this, that this friend is trying to be faithful to me, can we have a heart of gratitude? And again, this is an attitude. Are we receiving this with gratitude? Thank you. Thank you. And for heartfelt, thank you for bringing this to me. I'm glad. Even if you say that or not, we have a heart. That shows that willingness, that acceptance, that love is manifested in real gratitude for a brother or sister bringing that to us. I'm going to zip through that just a little bit because we're running out of time and I would like to be done here today. And then this is the last one of this attitude bit, and then we're going to talk about a few more things. So if humility, love, gratitude, but then the last one is carefulness. And this, I think, pulls all these things together. Am I being careful? Proverbs 19:20. And then if I have somebody else read Proverbs 20, verse 5. So some brother or sister, 19:20, and then 20, verse 5. Somebody can read 19:20 for me. Thank you, Allison.
Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days.
All right. So listen to counsel and accept this discipline. So receive these words for what purpose? Why is that, Allison?
So that you'll get wisdom.
Right. So if we believe that, then we aren't we being careful? Are we being careful to listen? And are we being careful to say, this is where I'm getting wisdom from. They're bringing something to me. And again, we bring a lot of these other attitudes in. Humility, love, gratitude. Maybe it's not coming across well. Maybe you have a communication problem and you're not really hearing. But if I'm thinking, if I really believe this is wisdom for me, this is I want to receive this discipline so I can have wisdom in my latter days, am I going to be careful to work to understand this perspective, understand what's being shared with me? And Proverbs 20 and verse 5. What is that? Proverbs 20 and verse, what did I tell you? I did say 5. Yes. Does anybody have the New King James Version? Anybody read from the New King James? Would you mind reading for that, Amber? 20 verse 5. Yeah, so the counsel, the New American Standard is plan. I think the ESV is purpose, right? But so I'm not enough of a Hebrew scholar to know which is the best translation. But the idea there is it's deep, whatever the stuff, if it's a plan, if it's counsel, if the words that are coming out, they're deep in the heart. Are we careful, the understanding, man of understanding, what he works to draw it out? So if I have this attitude of love and humility, of gratitude, am I being careful to ask questions, to not jump to conclusions, but to really listen with this open heart of this eagerness to draw out this understanding, draw out, what is the counsel? What are they trying to tell me? Am I missing it? Am I putting up a wall to get in the way, or am I working to understand them? And that's the idea. Are you working to understand your brothers and sisters? Not just jumping to a conclusion, but working to understand it. And again, this is gospel saturated. This is all should be rooted in realizing what Jesus has done for us, that we are so free in him, that we are given to serve one another and to love one another. And this is the word he's given us, and this is the community he's put us in. So are we working to understand each other, to be humble, to receive in love and gratitude and with care? Any quick thoughts there? That's the last attitude idea, and I have two more questions and then one more sentence that I want to cover in 5 minutes. Okay, sorry, I'm cutting you off. All right. I'm going to skip reading a little bit of Bible here. I'm just going to remind you of something you know. Okay, so if I have my attitude right, just think with me. You've prayed, somebody's bringing something to you, something, let's say a criticism, or maybe it's like a new idea. Is my attitude right? Am I hearing this? You have a heart of love for them, and God, thank you for my community. Thank you for them. I want to be careful to listen. What's another question we should ask? We move from my attitude. Words are coming in. What should we be asking? Andrew?
What do I do with
it now? Right. So now what do I do with this? I had a previous question first. Which is sort of guides what should I do with that counsel, and what should that maybe be?
Is it true?
Is exactly what I thought. So I'm just going to jump on that. We'll stop there. Is it true? Is what they're saying true? You think of the Bereans, right? I love this passage in Acts 17, which I won't have you read. This is receiving the word, but this is receiving words from each other, though. So it's a slightly different context. But they received the word with eagerness, so they're eager to receive it. And then what did the Bereans do? Andrew? Right. They searched out. Is this actually true? And so are we doing that as we hear words? If we have that right attitude, then at some point we have to say, well, is this right? Is this according to Scripture, what they've told me? Either it's a rebuke or it's some new idea. Is this true? Because sometimes it's not true. Sometimes they misunderstood the situation. Sometimes it's just bad. And you have brother or sister got caught up in something and they read some book and it's like, this actually is not good for us. This is not true. I don't want to bring in. So Andrew, that guides us then. What do we do with that counsel? Do I accept it or not? But we have to say, is this according to Scripture? So if my attitude's right as I'm hearing it, is this true? Is this a good thing? There's lots in the Scripture about people saying wrong things, and we're just going to skip that for now. I think we all understand sometimes it's just wrong. We have to understand that. But at the same time, as we're thinking, is this true? There's another question I thought of. This all has to go alongside of that, because sometimes that we're talking with each other, most of the time it's not talking about, this is your sin, brother, this is your sin, sister. Most of the time we're just talking. So not only do we have to think, is this true, but there's another thing sometimes we have to ask, I would find a biblical theme. What do you think, Mike? Right, is this a good time for us to talk about? Maybe say, no, we need to talk about it later. That wasn't what I was thinking about. That's true, yeah. Josh?
Maybe, is this the real issue? Like maybe instead of, you can talk about true things, but you're not just talking about the problem.
Right.
What's really driving whatever's going on.
That's good. And that's going to go to my last point, which is what we're going to end up, is what do we do with what we're hearing? Is this the right issue? That's where we're really listening. Really, is this? We're thinking. But what I thought, as we think about something with that attitude, is it true? There's a simultaneous question is this good for me to be hearing right now? Because in the scripture, there's another big key theme about talking and listening, is there some words that should not be said. There are words that are sin. And so as I'm talking to somebody and all of a sudden this becomes slander, they're talking about somebody else. Not only, this true isn't really the question at that point. The question is, should I be hearing this at all? And we sometimes have to stop and say, brother, sister, I love you. But I'm listening with that attitude. I'm not an attitude, oh, I'm better than you, but I'm thinking, but this is a conversation we should not be getting into. Or I'm not the right person you should be talking to. Or this is we're getting into this disagreement that I really don't need to be a part of this. I'm not the right person. So I'm already listening with that idea. Should I be hearing that? And we have to roll that up alongside of, is this true? If we want to keep that a biblical perspective, how we're listening to one another. Is my attitude right? Then is it true? And is this good for me to hear? Is this good? Is this good for me to hear? And then just to wrap that all up, my last point was then respond with grace. Respond with grace. That goes back to all of our speaking applications. So Josh, maybe we had the wrong point. Or maybe they said it horribly. Or maybe they were way off, they're wrong. Maybe they're sinning as they're talking to us. Then we have to go back to the speaking one. Now how are we going to talk back? How are we going to respond? It doesn't negate all of that attitude, is in the gate, all of that desire to do them good, to want to serve them. This brother or sister is sinning right here in front of me, blatantly. Now, how am I going to respond? Am I going to respond with grace? Am I going to respond in a good way, respond with truth and love? Michelle.
I guess it's ultimately what God is leading you to do, because there have been examples of being blatantly sinning in front of
Yeah.
And God
forgave me. Right.
And I've gone to him and apologized.
So, that's a great example.
I remember recently going up to him and saying, thank you very much for having enough common sense not to correct me.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And we're out of time, but that's a great example of, is this the right time for me to speak? This person sitting in front of me, should I be speaking? Responding with grace means maybe we don't respond. Maybe I do. We're going through that whole list. Maybe I can cover this over. Maybe this isn't something that I need to deal with right now. And so that we do that weird cycle. So we're always going back and forth. How are we speaking? And then how are we listening? And so if we're going back and forth, keeping these gospel realities, what Jesus has done for us, we're serving one another, we're hearing, we're speaking back and forth with this grace, trying to draw each other closer to the Lord. And so these are just some ideas, some helps, I hope, to help us communicate more effectively and openly for the good of each other, for the glory of God, so we receive each other for God's glory. Well, let's pray. Sorry, I went a little bit late there. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We thank you, God, for being our God, for giving us your word, which is so clear and has such good guidance. I pray you'd help us to love each other more, that the world would see that we are yours, that you have loved us, that love is real, it is transforming. And help us, O Lord, to be so safe in who we are in Jesus Christ, that we can speak with grace and that we can hear with grace, and we can glorify you as we love each other. Please help us and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much.